Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Hoorah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We'll start by talking with retired Lieutenant Colonel Steve Yudovich about the Iraq and Afghanistan War Memorial Foundation. Then David Brown will talk about the littlest Navy SEAL. And Diane Raver will talk about the movie of the month. Of course, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. And now, folks, it's a pleasure to introduce retired Lieutenant Colonel, Army Infantry Officer, Steve Yudovich. Steve, welcome to Frontlines of Freedom.
Thank you, Skip. Thanks for taking time to speak with us about our project.
Oh, no problem at all. Pleasure is all here. Now, Steve, why don't we start out, just give our listeners a quick review of your time in uniform.
Well, I was commissioned in 84. I was a four-year ROTC scholarship student at Penn State University. And I spent 23 years on active duty, served in Korea in the Demilitarized Zone, the Presidential Honor Guard in Washington, D.C., commanded a rifle company in Germany in the 8th Infantry Division for a couple years, taught ROTC at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, and also spent some time at Aberdeen Proving Ground as an operations officer. Spent 12 months in Iraq as an advisor team leader. I commanded a 75-man advisor team in northwest Iraq, and I retired from the Army in 2007. Since then, I've done a number of veterans-related projects, and this is my latest one, the Iraq and Afghanistan War Memorial of Florida. We intend to complete this mission and dedicate this monument in either December of this year or early 2024. And once that's completed, we intend to duplicate this mission in other states. Same design, state-specific names. That's the thing that's going to make these monuments very special. First monument we're doing, of course, is here in Florida, and it will have the names of 355 Floridians who made the ultimate sacrifices in our nation's wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Wow. That is a really big mission that you've bitten off here.
Our website has some really good pictures of what we're doing, and it has an excellent video on the lead page. And that website is iawmf.org. That's I as in India, A as in Alpha, W as in Whiskey, M as in Mike, and F as in Foxtrot. iawmf.org. The lead page has an excellent video done by the city of Port St. Lucie. Gives you a good idea of where this monument's going, and it also has a great picture of the monument. Each of the three panels is going to be 6 foot high, 4 foot wide, 8 inches thick. It's going to be made from India black granite, the same stone that was used to make the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. And it'll have the campaign ribbons on it. The campaign ribbons will be sandblasted and painted. They'll be on front and back, and the names will be on the back side. So it's a two-sided monument. Mm-hmm. And Port St. Lucie is actually on the other coast, if you will, from where we live in Central West Florida. And why Port St. Lucie? Well, we did an on-site survey of about 50 locations in the state of Florida, and we determined that Port St. Lucie had the best location for this monument. They have a huge, beautiful Veterans Memorial Park. The city government was very, very supportive of what we're doing. Their city council voted unanimously to approve this monument, and we expect to have our memorandum of agreement completed with the city of Port St. Lucie later this month.
Oh, that's awesome. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel, and we're talking with retired Lieutenant Colonel Steve Yudovich from the Iraq and Afghanistan War Memorial Foundation. Steve, I'm curious, what prompted you to go ahead and do this? Because this is a huge undertaking, and this can be like a full-time job for you for quite a while.
Yeah, well, you know, to be honest with you, I moved to Florida about 4 years ago. I used to live in northern Delaware outside of Philadelphia. And I was at a Veterans Memorial Park in northern Delaware, and I saw different monuments, and I realized, I said, hey, you know, it's probably time to start thinking about some kind of monument for Iraq and Afghanistan, my fellow Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. And that's kind of where it started. And then I sketched something out. I wanted something plain, direct, something very plain, very direct. And, you know, I always liked the the Vietnam War Memorial, the way that's kind of presented. It's big, it's black, and it's got all the names on it. Getting the names was not easy. The names come from the Defense Casualty Analysis System, DCAS, which is a kind of an office under the Department of Defense. And just establishing contact with them was, believe it or not, was one of the hardest nuts I've ever had to crack. But we were able to do it with the help of my congressman here, Congressman Gus Bilirakis, Florida 12, Tarpon Springs, Florida. So as of today, we have about 50% of what we need. Our fundraising goal is about $90,000. We've got about $50,000 in the bank. And we've got some big events planned. We've got an event planned here in Clearwater. We're going to auction off, I want to say, 3 or 4 engraved Henry lever-action rifles that were donated from Henry Repeating Arms. A number of other firearms, classic and some new firearms as well. We got a local gun shop involved in that. He's going to be doing the FFL checks right there on scene. We've also got some 2 or 3 guitars that are autographed by Ted Nugent.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We also have some sports memorabilia, things from the Tampa Bay Lightning, and some other things. So we're going to have a live band. It's going to be a big event. It's going to be at a place called Cove K Golf Club here in Clearwater. Now, we also have an event planned on the Atlantic coast. And once again, Port St. Lucie, where this monument is going, is on the central Atlantic coast of Florida. It's between West Palm Beach and Fort Pierce. Yeah, we have an event planned over there later this month at Treasure Coast Harley-Davidson in Stuart, Florida. They're going to do a ride and an after party with a band and food. And we're really looking forward to that. And we're going to reach out to a few of the other Harley-Davidson dealers in Florida and hope that they can get behind us with the same kind of support. And as far as long-term goes, as I mentioned earlier, we're hoping to have this monument ready for dedication. And when I say ready for dedication, that means we've obviously raised the money. We've made the payments to the monument company. The name of the company is PG Memorials. They're located in Derby Line, Vermont. They've done about, I want to say, 15 or 16 monuments here in Florida. And when that monument is completed, they will put it on a flatbed truck and they will drive it right down 95 and they will place it in the Veterans Memorial Park of the city of Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Once we
have that monument placed and ready for dedication, then it's up to the city. In accordance with our memorandum of agreement, the city is going to manage the dedication ceremony. So we may have ready for dedication first week of December. The mayor's office may come back and say, we're not going to dedicate it until, you know, end of January. That's up to them.
Wow.
And then, of course, the city will take care of perpetual care and maintenance. And so it's been a big job. And the three of us, when I say the three of us, it's myself, Lieutenant Colonel retired Phil Wiley. Phil and I have known each other since 85 when we were infantry officers on the demilitarized zone in Korea. Phil's a retired Army Special Forces officer. And our Gold Star mother, Kim Allison. Kim's son was killed in Afghanistan in 2013, her son Zachary. And her son is the namesake of our VFW post here in Dunedin, Florida, VFW post 2550, named in honor of Specialist Zachary Shannon, U.S. Army.
Wow.
So, and we've had some help. Okay. We got a board of advisors that includes the past state commanders of the American Legion and the VFW, Chester Pyatt and Rick Johnson. And we've got a retired Marine Corps 2-star general on our board of advisors, Dave Kaufman, as well as some other folks.
All right. Steve, you're just doing a great job. You've got it all figured out. You're very well planned. We're almost out of time here, but my question is, how can our listeners donate to this cause?
The best way for listeners to donate to this cause is to go to our website. You can donate with a credit card through PayPal. Again, that website is iawmf.org. iawmf.org, the Iraq and Afghanistan War Memorial Foundation. We appreciate all the support that we've received thus far. We look forward to receiving more support, obviously, from veterans organizations and the public. Once again, you can donate online with a credit card. We'd like to thank your listeners for their anticipated support. And we'd also like to thank Colonel Gillum and yourself, Skip, for taking an interest in this and allowing us to come on and be part of your show.
All right. Well, Steve, that is awesome. I want to thank you very much for being on the show today, Steve.
Thank you, Skip. And please pass my regards on to the Colonel, and I will continue to be a listener as I have been in the past.
All right. Thank you, Steve, for joining us today. Thank you for your service to our nation, and especially for what you're doing now with the memorial. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel. It's time to get back in shape, folks, and make you battle ready. Let's start with 50 push-ups, then do 100 bends and thrusts. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act, so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care. We're leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted. Our key to success? You. We bring your voice to our nation's leaders so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity. Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. And now it is a pleasure to welcome to the show Navy SEAL David Brown. Dave, this is your first time on Frontlines of Freedom. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
All right. You know, Dave, I am just fascinated by your story. You've written a book. You're a Navy SEAL. You were a federal agent. There's just all kinds of things that you've done that most people never ever even try to do. So, Dave, since this is your first time on the show, just give us a little background. You know, take a minute. Who exactly is Dave?
I am what I would consider a bit of an overachiever.
Okay.
I am very persistent and I'm very determined. And growing up as a little boy in Pennsylvania coal country, I idolized Jacques Cousteau and James Bond. And
oh, yeah.
I wanted to be Jacques Cousteau with a machine gun. And, as, you know, going forward, I found what I thought was a good career path. And even though many, many people said that, oh, you know, don't bother going in that direction, you have no chance of making it because of my size, I managed to overcome and become a Navy SEAL. So, and then beyond that, as you mentioned, I had a really good career, 28 years as a federal agent in a couple different organizations and had some very successful national investigations under my belt. So,
oh, well, that's awesome. Well, you know, Dave, the listeners don't yet know exactly, you know, how small are you, you know, stature wise?
Oh, you know, the pictures tell a thousand words, as they say. You know, I'm going to plug my website, udtdave.com. And if you go there and you look at the pictures, that will give you a really good indication. But but to let you know, when I went in the Navy, I was 110 pounds and I was 5'3" tall going to SEAL training.
Wow. And how tall are you now?
Oh, I grew tremendously. Now I'm 5'4".
Oh, that's awesome. So you sprouted. That's great.
Yes. Weigh a little bit more now because I'm a little bit older. But I really didn't get much bigger.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm 5'10". So it's like I'm just average. But at least you're excelling on one end of the spectrum. So that's good. You know, Dave, I just can't imagine what it would be like. First, I can't even imagine SEAL training. I mean, you know, I'm a Marine, but, you know, it's not the same. You guys go, you know, beyond what I did. What was it like at 5'3", 110 pounds to be in BUDS?
I would say it was pretty difficult. I had challenges that a lot of other people didn't have simply because I was carrying the same weight that they were on a much smaller frame. So you're looking at people who typically are between 170, 80, up to 230 pounds. And I'm, you know, I'm carrying two steel tanks that weigh 60 pounds and I weigh 110 pounds. So I would say I had my challenges going through BUDS. And somehow, miraculously, I was able to overcome that in fashions that, in my opinion, you know, physically, I shouldn't have been able to do it. I shouldn't have been able to run that fast or that far or carry the things that I did. And I almost equate it to divine intervention on a couple of occasions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, one of the things that keeps coming to mind is that saying that it doesn't matter what's on the outside, it matters what's on the inside. And I think in really tough training like that, the inside has to be bigger than the outside.
Absolutely. And we are saddled, we being humans, are saddled with the idea that we can only achieve to a certain level. We can only do certain things. And until you get over that in your mind and separate your physical with your mental part of what you can do, then you're limited by that. But once you can mentally get over that, it's amazing what you can do as a physical person, as in psychologically. And that's what I was, somehow I was able to do that. Even at, and I was only 18 years old at the time when I was going through the training.
Wow. This is Marine Vet Skip Correll on Front Lines of Freedom, and we're talking Navy SEALs with Dave Brown. Now, okay, Dave, first off, I've, you know, forgive me for doing what I'm about to do here. When I heard about your story and I went through and I read your book, you know, Navy SEAL training, you know, all of us who have never been through it, you know, we watch the movies and there's always, you know, the image of these guys lifting those giant logs over their heads, right? And when I think about someone 5'3", 110 pounds, lifting those logs, I just get this image of the big guys lifting the log up and then, you know, Dave hanging on as he's being lifted up off the ground. Is that the way it was? Or did you have to lift the log too?
Oh, of course, I had to lift the log. we were separated into boat crews, and those boat crews are separated by height. So while I didn't have to compete, let's say, with the bigger guys on the log, otherwise I would have been dangling like a cartoon character yes. underneath it. But the guys that were in my boat crew, the closest guy to my height was probably about 5'5", and it went up from there. So, and they put me at the end of the log. So mm-hmm. it tapered down. So I got my share, believe me. And instructors would still come over and build me a little sand hill underneath my feet. So I would carry my weight. And that actually made it worse because then I was taller than the rest of them standing yeah. on my little mound. So they found ways to try to equalize my my pain with everyone else's.
Well, you know, SEAL training, you know, from what I've seen, you know, from the movies, you know, there's, you know, you ring the bell means you quit. How close did you come to quitting during your SEAL training?
I know this sounds odd, but never.
Hmm.
Never, never. And in fact, I shined the bell in first phase. I volunteered to shine the bell every morning. I'd get up a half hour before everyone else. Took the bell off its mount and shined all the fingerprints from all the guys who quit off of it for that day. But I went into training. I had to go through twice. I broke my legs the first time. And the second time, I was absolutely convinced they would have to kill me uh-huh. before I would quit.
Wow. How did you break your legs?
Simple running. I shouldn't say simple. We ran on the equivalent of 2 marathons a week in boots. And after 3 months of that, my legs basically just fractured. I had stress fractures in both of my shins and ankles.
Yeah. Yeah. How long did it take to heal up?
I was back in training in 8 weeks, started a new class.
Wow. Boy, that is just awesome. You know, it just escapes me, the determination, indomitability, you know, and, you know, part of your book, you talk about going out for football. I think, what is it, in like ninth grade or something, and you quit in football, but then you didn't quit SEAL training, you know, what, like 3 or 4 years after that. Was quitting football in high school, did that make you more determined? Is that how that worked?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe, and this is something I cover in the book, that if you need to experience certain things in your life before you get in a situation like I did in SEAL training, where it was pretty much a life or death situation many times, you've had to climb that mountain and felt, as I did quitting football, the guilt of quitting and hated it to the point where I would never quit anything again. And I took that forward in my experiences going through training. And I remember that how bad that made me feel. And I was never going to quit. And I never did. And I never have, for a lot of reasons. My perspective on quitting is different. And it is that I never fail is my motto. What I do is if I don't make the grade, I learn and I move forward. And if you look at every experience that you have as a progress going forward, then you can never fail.
That's awesome. That is awesome. You know, David, unfortunately, we're running out of time. But before we go, please tell us how we can learn more about you and how we can get your book.
Please go to my website, udtdave.com. And I am taking subscribers to give them information about when my book is going to be published. And, you know, check out the pictures and check out the stories. It's a, I think it's a great inspirational story. And I think the readers are really going to like what I have to say and enjoy the book.
All right. Awesome. So that's udtdave.com, udtdave.com. All right, David, thank you very much for joining us today. And thank you for your service to our nation.
Thank you for the interview, Skip. I had a great time.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss the movie of the month with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm twice, then take a break. Except for you special forces types. You just sit there smiling patriotically while sharpening your K-bar. But stay in the area. I'll be right back.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
HelpVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Troops, we really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact us through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And now it's time to review the movie of the month with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Diane, welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom.
Thank you, Skip. As you know, it's always an honor and a privilege for me to be with you and your audience. So thank you for having me.
Well, we certainly appreciate it as well. All right, Diane, this month's movie, it's titled Zero, and boy, it's a little different, shows us a different culture than we're used to. Why did you pick this movie, Diane?
Well, again, in thinking of our original purpose of this movie club, it was to provoke thought. And in the categories of military affairs and international affairs. And this one was just a nice, what we call in the film business, slice of life. A slice of life somewhere other than many of us would be taken to in our normal daily lives. And it was a beautiful story about a young man trying to keep his family business going, as often happens in our own culture, and how an act of fate by some maybe not so wonderful people, in turn, impacted his fate to the better. And I just thought it was a lovely, lovely story and wanted to share it with your audience.
Yeah, you know, when I watched this movie, Diane, I didn't readily know exactly what was going on. And but I would encourage the listeners, when you're watching this movie, stick to it. Because, you know, you've got to watch it 6 or 7 minutes before you really start to figure out exactly what is going on. But I enjoyed it. And it's really kind of inspiring, I thought.
Well, and again, that speaks to how our society has become a society of immediate gratification. If you look at perhaps Walt Disney's Bambi or Snow White, they're very slow paced. And that was the way we got our information. Again, I'm a lady of a certain age that I don't but our information now is coming at us so fast that to stop and really take in a different culture in the pace that they're at. See, that's the pace that they live at their society. We're used to everything fast. But again, that is not the rest of the world. So, and if you miss it the first time, I would encourage you to watch it again, because it's really a beautiful story.
Diane, okay. Do you happen to know which country this was filmed in?
Yes, India.
Ah, okay. Awesome. You know, it was just so much different than the America that I'm used to, but it was kind of refreshing to see the slower pace like that. And, right. You know, all the little motor scooters driving by.
Yeah, it gives you a insight to another culture, which is part of our mission here with the film.
And Diana, another thing I found interesting, the cinematography, you know, a lot of close-ups, not a lot of dialogue, but the ant, the symbolism of the hardworking ant, unrelenting. I thought that was a good touch, too.
Really a beautiful story, and speaks to, again, how an act of fate can change what's going to happen to you. And they weren't kind, but kindness is always appreciated in life.
Right, right.
The way the act of fate happened was a little interesting, but there you go, you know.
We're speaking with Diane Raber from the Garden State Film Festival about the short movie called Zero. All right, and Diane, we had some comments from our listeners. One person said, a number of vehicles on two-lane roads, lots of motorcycles and scooters. And that's not an American thing, but the rest of the world, they run on tiny little motorbikes, don't they?
Yes, because, of course, the cost of petroleum is so exorbitant. So that's usually why they have less cylinders and less heavy vehicles.
Well, and another listener noticed the man who was riding on the running board of the vehicle. You're not going to see that in the United States, are you?
No, of course, we have laws about things like that.
Another person said, a young boy dressed casually is working at a stand that apparently sells some kind of food. He's alone and he's bored.
Well, that's because he doesn't have much business until that act of fate intervenes.
Well, and I know he didn't even have a cell phone. The other actors had cell phones. It appeared that he was there, maybe running his family business, but there was that picture, like a memorial, and I assume maybe that was his father.
Right, that's what I assumed as well, and that he had passed away, and that, you know, this was the family's livelihood, that the son, of course, the poor thing, had to take over with, you know, little help and support. But again, an act of fate intervened.
Yeah, and another listener commented on the boy finding that food. I mean, that was kind of a touching moment when a car drove by and threw part of a sandwich out onto the dirt, and the boy walked over and picked it up and ate that. That's not something that Americans are really familiar with.
Well, that's correct, and that kind of puts everything in perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of the listeners, they were impressed with the character of this young man. I mean, because basically he was there very dedicated, just sitting there slogging away day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute, with no one stopping and buying his product. But there's just an indomitability about this young man that was really quite impressive.
Well, again, it speaks to the human spirit that we would hope all of us have within us. So, again, I thought it was a beautiful film.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it was the movie was definitely inspiring for me. And I guess if you had to come away with one message, one theme, it would be to never, ever give up, because you just don't know what's going to happen.
Isn't that the truth? And I agree 100%, Skip.
Well, and you know, it's something that we all can take away and apply into our lives. It transcends cultures, because this was definitely a culture not like the United States. Whether right. you're in
even in India, he was out in the country. He wasn't in the city, which is what we see mostly in, you know, films and other things. This was really rural India, which was a peek into how people survive, you know.
Well, it's definitely worth the watch, because it'll inspire you, you know, because, hey, things are getting tough all over, even here in America, as far as the economy goes.
Now, that's very true.
All right. Well, Diane, well, I want to thank you for this very interesting movie and for being on the part of the Front Lines of Freedom team. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much. And I just want to give a shout out that the Garden State Film Festival, if you're anywhere near, is March 23rd through the 26th. So get your tickets today.
Awesome. Well, troops, if you're a veteran who is having trouble getting your disability approved by the VA, contact Barry Law. Reach them at PTSDlawyers.com. That's PTSDlawyers.com. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 60 this time? I want you battle ready, then stand at ease.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com. We are fighting for the American farmer. U.S. only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com. Use your promo code FREEDOM and you get 10% off today. Support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. PatriotFoods.com. Promo code FREEDOM.
I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. We welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send us your thoughts at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Sarah, what's the first comment?
Navy vet Sam writes that he loves the show, especially in the middle of the night when he's on watch. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Sam. Let's hope that your CO isn't listening in and recognizes you. We'd hate for you to get in trouble for listening in while you're on duty. But don't worry, we won't say a word.
Trisha, an Army mom, loves the show because it helps her feel closer to her son, who is on duty in another country. She also thinks the Colonel has a great radio voice.
Well, thank you, Trish. I'll pass that compliment on to the Colonel when he gets back from vacation. And the Colonel, on his own admission, is apt to agree with you, but add that he also has a great face for radio as well. Thanks for listening, Trish. And now it's time for military history. What's first, Sarah?
On the 31st of March, 1863, Confederate troops opened a sustained attack and siege of the Union position at Washington, North Carolina. The assaulting forces erected numerous batteries along the Pamlico River in an effort to check the Union Navy. Nonetheless, the senior naval officer, Commander Davenport, moved quickly to aid the beleaguered Union soldiers. He dispatched all but two gunboats guarding New Bern to Washington and left only one at Plymouth before the attack was broken up on the 16th of April. The warship's heavy gunfire support swung the balance in stopping the Confederates. In addition, small boats transported desperately needed ammunition to the troops, and ultimately it was the waterborne supplies reaching the garrison that induced the Confederates to withdraw.
And on 31 March 1865, the final offensive of the Army of the Potomac gathers steam when Union General Phil Sheridan moves against the left flank of Confederate General Robert Lee's Army of Northern Virginia. The limited action set the stage for the Battle of Five Forks on April 1. This engagement took place at the end of the Petersburg Line.
For 10 months, the Union had laid siege to Lee's army at Petersburg, but the trenches stretched all the way to Richmond, 25 miles north of Petersburg. Lee's thinning army attacked Fort Stedman on March 25 in a futile attempt to break the siege, but the Union line held. On March 29, General Ulysses Grant, general-in-chief of the Union army and the field commander around Petersburg, began moving his men past the western end of Lee's line. Torrential rains almost delayed the move. Grant planned to send Sheridan against the Confederates on March 31, but called off the operation. Sheridan would not be denied a chance to fight, though. Quote, "I am ready to strike out tomorrow and go to smashing things," unquote, he told his officers. They encouraged him to meet with Grant, who consented to begin the move. Near Dinwiddie Courthouse, Sheridan advanced but was driven back by General George Pickett's division. Pickett was alerted to the Union advance, and during the night of March 31, he pulled his men back to Five Forks. This set the stage for a major strike by Sheridan on April 1, when the Yankees crushed the rebel flank and forced Lee to evacuate Richmond and Petersburg.
On 28 March, April 1941, during World War II, Andrew Cunningham, Admiral of the British Fleet, ordered the British Royal Navy's destruction of three major Italian cruisers and two destroyers in the Battle of Cape Matapan in the Mediterranean. The destruction, following on the attack of the Italian fleet at Taranto by the British in November 1940, effectively put an end to any threat the Italian Navy posed to the British.
On 31 March 1968, in a televised speech to the nation, President Lyndon B. Johnson announces a partial halt of bombing missions over North Vietnam and proposes peace talks. He said he had ordered unilaterally a halt to air and naval bombardments of North Vietnam, except in the area north of the demilitarized zone, where the continuing enemy buildup directly threatens Allied forward positions. He also stated that he was sending 13,500 more troops to Vietnam and would request further defense expenditures, $2.5 billion in fiscal year 1968 and $2.6 billion in fiscal year 1969. To finance recent troop buildups, re-equip the South Vietnamese Army, and meet responsibilities in Korea. In closing, Johnson shocked the nation with an announcement that all but conceded that his own presidency had become another wartime casualty. Quote, "I shall not seek and I will not accept the nomination of my party for another term as your president," unquote.
On 31 March 1980, Iranian officials say American hostages may be handed over to the government by militants holding the U.S. Embassy, as militant leaders meet with President Bani Sadr.
On 31 March 1991, the Warsaw Pact spent the last day of its existence as a military alliance.
On the 31st of March 1992, USS Missouri BB-63, the last American battleship, was decommissioned. The USS Missouri was the last American battleship ever built. At the time of her commission, the United States had already suffered through Pearl Harbor, returned the salvageable battleships to service, and turned the tide of the war in the Pacific at the Battle of Midway. But that didn't stop the Mighty Mo from becoming an important part of American history.
On 31 March 2003, in the 13th day of Operation Iraqi Freedom, U.S.-led troops fought pitched battles with Saddam Hussein's Republican Guard within 50 miles of the capital. B-1, B-2, and B-52 bombers struck communication and command centers in Baghdad, and cruise missiles set Iraq's information ministry ablaze. Casualties from the war to date, U.S. total, 40 dead, 7 captured, 18 missing. British total, 25 dead. Of 8,000 precision bombs dropped since the war began, 3,000 fell in the last 3 days. And that's military history for today. And now it's time for our self-defense report. All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Sarah?
30-year-old Ronald Chand accosted a 43-year-old man inside a fitness center in Corona, California. The attacker had a hatchet and a knife. He stabbed the 43-year-old several times in the chest while demanding that others in the gym bring him a bottle of water. The victim decided to fight back and brought his attacker to the ground. Four onlookers jumped in to help and restrained the attacker until police arrived. The victim was taken to a local hospital for medical treatment and will recover. Chand was similarly taken to the hospital with minor injuries, but then booked into the Robert Presley Detention Center. Chand has been charged with attempted murder and two misdemeanor counts of assault with a deadly weapon, resulting in great bodily injury.
Thanks, Sarah. This particular story is a great example of herd mentality in action. Here's how Wikipedia describes it. Herd, mob, or pack mentality describes how people can be influenced by the majority. In our story today, the victim's first response was to comply with the aggressive man with a hatchet and knife. The altercation started in the parking lot but moved inside after the attacker broke the victim's car window, pulled him out, and then forced him inside the gym. Through all of this, the victim complied. Once they were both inside, the attacker continued to exert control over the victim and in fact extended his control to everyone else inside the fitness gym, even to the point where he demanded that they fetch him some bottled water. The man just assumed that he had the right to do that because of his sociopathic mindset. And his evil mindset was reinforced by the compliance of the victim and by many others inside the gym. I'm reminded of one of my favorite sayings, "What you allow, you teach." Every time we comply with wrongdoing, we are teaching the criminal that he has the ability to hurt others for his own selfish gain. When this pattern is repeated over time, criminals grow to feel entitled, that they somehow even have the right to hurt other people. But it's interesting to note what happened when one man stood up and fought back. As soon as the victim resisted and attacked the aggressor, other people jumped in to help as well. This is the herd mentality at work. Most people are followers, not leaders. They'll sit back and watch until someone makes the first move, and only then will they jump into the fray. It's almost like they need permission to do the right thing, as if the courage of one man can remind them they have courage and resolve of their own. All of us have a choice in life. We can be courageous leaders, or we can be sheep who simply follow the person in front of us, always waiting for permission and guidance. I submit that as military vets, we should be leading the pack into doing the right thing, to always protect and defend those in need of help. Frontlines of Freedom salutes the victim who fought back and also the four men who jumped in to help subdue the violent criminal. America needs heroes now more than ever. Our movie of the month is Zero. We just reviewed it. You can go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog, and get the link. You can watch it for free. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, the Colonel will be back from vacation, and he'll be speaking with Dr. Scott Jensen and also Jason Beardsley from Concerned Veterans for America, and then New York Times bestselling author William Forstgen, who will be discussing the dangers of electromagnetic pulse. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom with 19 Authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please help us get this call-to-action book into the hands of all Americans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of the show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel, who is dutifully sitting in for the vacationing and goofing off colonel in sunny Florida while I shiver in the cold and frozen wastelands of the North. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join us next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the Front Lines of Freedom. Dismissed.